Well, what would you do?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke, and I'm really curious about what the Federal Reserve is going to say today. The people at the Fed have been doing unprecedentedly intervention-y things to the economy, and they desperately don't want to overshoot one way or the other. They finished their policy meeting today with some kind of statement. We have someone on the line who used to be a senior economist at the Fed in the 60s and 70s. John Mason joins us live. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I wanted to talk about how the Fed walks this line. So, for example, this morning there's a government report out. It says, they say durable goods orders jumped last month. These are the big ticket appliances, airplanes. So this is a sign the economy's moving. If you're a Fed policymaker, how do you react to that today?
Well, you've got the good side and the bad side. The good side is, and it's reflected in the stock market, the stock market immediately went up. On the other side, however, the bond market immediately went down, raising interest rates on the 10-year and the 30-year Treasury securities.
Right. So bond prices go down basically because there might be too much recovery, could cause inflation. So what does the Fed do or say today to react to that?
Well, they've got to kind of play it close to the vest, if you will, but they've got to somehow make the people in the bond market feel confident that they're going to do the right thing. We've got the federal deficits that are being quite large, and people are worried about what the Fed is going to do. And so they've got to say something that's going to at least make the market feel a little bit more confident that they're in charge here. Also, we've got the problem that with the 10-year Treasury security rising interest rates, the mortgage rates could rise, and this could slow any recovery that might be taking place in the housing market.
Right. So we just have a few more seconds, John. I'm curious, what's it like to be at the Federal Reserve right now, do you figure, trying to make this call?
I would think these people were not getting much sleep. You got so many cost currents going across the economy right now that they've got to play it, real tight on one side, and yet they've got to be aware of the easing economy and the recovery and responding to that as well.
Okay. Former Federal Reserve senior economist John Mason. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
And another economic report out this morning. New home sales fell slightly, so not so good if you're looking for a housing recovery. Let's do the numbers. Up, like John said, the S&P 500 is up 1.5%. The NASDAQ up more than 2%. The Dow is up 0.8% or 71 points at 8,394. European markets also jumped today, and Asian stock markets rebounded as well. So stocks might be up today, but 401ks have, as you know, taken a beating. This has Congress investigating. A House committee today takes up a measure to crack down on hidden fees that 401k plans charge. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
The bill would require 401k consultants and administrators to be more open about conflicts of interest and fees. Democratic Congressman George Miller authored the bill.
We've heard from people all over the country that these fees are not transparent, these fees are hidden, these fees are excessive, and that, in fact, you can reduce lifetime savings of people who work for 20 or 30 years by almost 20%.
The bill rolls different fees into a single figure that would be displayed prominently in statements. Jeff Acheson is with Schneider Downs, a wealth management advisory firm. He says over a lifetime, a small fee can add up.
Dramatically, it adds up to tens of thousands of dollars in potential account value that could have been there to the younger or the larger contributor. It could easily be in six figures, the differential.
Opponents of the bill say it would make 401k plans more complex and costly and would reduce workers' access to investment advice. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Orville Redenbacher's, Chef Boyardee, and Healthy Choice. More at conagrafoods.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
It is blockbuster sequel season again. Today opens Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen. The Transformers films, you might know, have characters based on cars and trucks, many of them from General Motors. So is it bad timing with GM bankruptcy? Well, reporter Ashley Milne-Tite says maybe not.
General Motors gave the Transformers movie makers almost 70 cars. GM made the decision to work on the sequel long before the wheels came off its own operations. Mark Grazier is a senior writer at Variety. He says the studio's not that bothered about the car maker being in bankruptcy.
Having GM on board, it means, you know, tens of millions of dollars in marketing support that Paramount now doesn't have. But when you have a film like Transformers, the sequel, they don't need that money.
Paramount says plenty of other brands are helping to promote the movie. Grazier says the franchise has legions of fans eager to see what befalls teenager Sam Witwicky this time round. Once again, the Autobots have to protect him and planet Earth from the evil Decepticons.
We've kept much from you, Sam.
This isn't my war.
I fear it soon will be.
But it's the cars that are the real stars in Transformers, especially when they morph into robots. GM's using the film to promote at least one of its cars. The Chevy Camaro stars as a major character. But GM has slashed its marketing budget and won't say how much it's spending on the high-octane ads that are playing in movie theaters. John Wolkonowicz is an auto analyst with IHS Global Insight. He believes GM will emerge quickly from Chapter 11, and he says the film's timing is perfect.
You're going to get a lot of instances where kids who are not old enough to buy a car are going to ask Dad, let's go down to the Chevy dealer and see that new Camaro. And Dad might wind up driving out in a Malibu or a Silverado or something else that's more practical.
GM vehicles get all the good parts in this movie. Well, they're the good guys anyway. Variety's Mark Grazier says that turns the film into one long commercial for the carmaker. He says GM's bankruptcy will be the last thing on the audience's mind.
The movie is so big and it involves characters that are so loved that, you know, having GM play those characters will only make GM look better in the eyes of the consumer. It's a cool factor that you just can't buy.
Even if you could afford it. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.